Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. I know many of you listening are not able to come up to Rancho Cucamonga. So you can join us on our live stream on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You can go to our website, www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. Join in the worship. You can worship. You can fellowship. You can offer up prayers. You can connect. You can know that you're not alone. If you miss those opportunities, you can go to our website you can go to our YouTube channel and watch any of our services. You can watch our weekly messages, our sermons, our weekly children's sermons, or our worship services. Our YouTube channel is The Seed Christian Fellowship. It's our prayer that you'll come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, go in the power of the Holy Spirit to sow seeds of faith. We are blessed to come well to this final message in our series titled In Christ. That's what the series is called, In Christ. So what? I'll begin with a so what question. That's the question that I ask myself as I begin and finish my study and writing of each weekly message. So what? What do all these ancient words that were written so long ago have to do with us today? So what do they have to do with me? So what? Why did Paul write all these in Christ statements in his letters? Remember that in Christ, in Christo, in the original Greek, meant to be in or among or with, nearby, in union with, and or with. That little Greek word in. First week of our study, we read Romans 3:21 and 22, but now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. These verses taught us that in Christ, we have been given a righteousness that is not our own. We have a righteousness that comes to us through faith in Christ alone. We are in Christo, in union with Christ. We are given his righteousness. What a trade. The second week, we read Colossians 1, 3 through 5. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel. Because of our faith in Christ, a love and hope spring up for us in heaven. We are found to be among or in union with, nearby, with, and in Christ simply by believing. And we are given so much. Third week, we found our peace in Christ as Paul teaches us those powerful words in Philippians 4, 6, and 7 when he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Wow, we're given the peace of God when our hearts and our minds are in Christo. Another great trade for us as believers. The fourth week, we found our riches are in Christ. Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Have you noticed what we trade? We simply trade our belief in Christ for so much more. The fourth week, we realize that we've been given glorious riches. The radiance of heaven is ours. Pretty great trade right there. Today, we're going to look at Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Well, it's actually 2 Corinthians. Paul wanted to teach the early church that in Christ, they were a new creation. And with this new identity in Christ, they are reconciled to God in Christ. perhaps the greatest trait of them all. By being in Christo, we are made new. Our old filthy rags for Christ's sakes are traded in for glorious ones. Let us pray. Let us come to the throne of grace and mercy in a moment of prayer. Lord God of all creation, create in us a clean heart. Forgive us for our sins, for they are many. Help us to have ears to hear and a mind to comprehend all that you teach us today. We want to be new in Christ. We want the old to go. We give you thanks and praise for your Son, Jesus, who gives us a new life in you. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to pick up on verse 16, and we'll probably go through chapter 6, verse 2. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. But God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Wow. Righteousness in Christ, faith in Christ, peace in Christ, riches in Christ, forgiveness in Christ, new creation in Christ, reconciled to God in Christ. Let's talk about the new creation for a few minutes. So why does Paul spend so much time teaching the early church of the importance of knowing who we are in Christ? We need to remember who Paul was before he met Christ on the road to Damascus. Paul was a young, brash, bold, proud, and passionate Pharisee. He was out to persecute the early Christians. He stood holding the cloaks of those who stoned Stephen to death. Some scholars would say that Paul was influential in getting some early followers of Christ imprisoned and even killed. But on this fateful day on the road to Damascus, when he was trying to round up more followers of Christ, he was knocked down, blinded, and humbled when he met the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul would tell Timothy that he was the worst of sinners, but because of God's grace, he was saved in Christ Jesus. Paul's life had been transformed, and he was a new creation, no longer proud and passionate, bold and brash, but a new creation in Christ with the ministry of reconciliation. Paul wants all his readers to know the truth, that in Christ we all experience a new transformation. The old is gone and the new has come. The poor are made rich, the unrighteous are made righteous, those filled with fear find peace in Christ. The dead are made alive. I like one of the translations that says, the old is going, gone. The new is coming and here to stay. Did you know that of the 2.8 million deaths reported to the Social Security Administration last year, approximately 14,000 people's names were incorrectly entered in their online database as dead? That many people, one out of 200 entries, were reported as dead when they were very much alive and well. That is 38 life-altering mistakes every day. One day, Laura Brooks, a 52-year-old mother of two, suddenly stopped receiving disability checks. Then her loan payments and rent checks bounced. She went to the bank to find out what was the matter, and the representative told her that her accounts had been closed because she was dead. They would only reopen her accounts if she could prove she was alive. Well, no doubt she found ways to prove her case. Here she was standing right in front of them. If you were in a comparable situation but were required to prove that you are alive, not physically, but spiritually, would you make your case? Can we make our case that we are a new creation in Christ? In 1858, Frances Ridley Havergal visited Germany with her father, who was getting a treatment for his afflicted eyes. While in a pastor's home, she saw a picture of the crucifixion on the wall, with the words written under it, "I did this for thee. What hast thou done for me?" Quickly, she took a piece of paper and wrote a poem based on the motto. She was not satisfied with it, so she threw the paper in the fireplace. The paper came out unharmed. Later, her father encouraged her to publish it. Well, and we sing it. We still sing it today. It was, and the tune was composed by a man by the name of Philip Bliss. Here's part of the verse. "I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me?" When we come to the realization of what Christ has done for us, we will have a transformation. We will go from the old way of living to a new way of living. Paul had a change in character from being a bold, brash, proud Pharisee to a humble servant of Christ. Paul's change of character was his personal transformation from the old Paul into a new creation, the new Paul. I became a Christian at the age of 27. In January of 1981, at a Stonecroft Women's Couples Bible Study, my life began to change. The old Dave was a lot like the Apostle Paul, bold, brash, proud, not needing anyone. Even though my wife and I had been married for 7 years, I had never once told her I needed her. I apologized to her then, and I still apologize today. Instead, I was so proud, and I made it a point that she knew I did not need anyone. Wow. Have you ever been that way? You've been listening to the Seed of Faith brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. I would love to pray for you. Go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer link and write up your prayer, and we'll pray for you. If you need to ever talk, just email me at PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship. I was sharing that I was a little bit like Paul. Maybe I was a lot like Paul. I was bold and brash, not needing anyone. My wife and I had been married 7 years, and I had never once told her I needed her. We made a marriage encounter in 1981. The question I was to write on for 90 minutes was, "Why is my life worth living?" After 2 days of being at the marriage encounter, I was ready to bare my soul and my heart to my bride. I wrote her a letter of love, and in that letter, I told her I needed her. She began to cry and wail so loud that the people next door came running and knocked on our door to see if she was okay. She told them that I had just told her I needed her. Now listen, we had been married 7 years. Not only did I start to open up and allow my wife into my life, I started carrying my Bible in my pickup truck. I would take my lunch break and go and sit on the park along the Rock River in Dixon, Illinois, and read my Bible. When my employees would use my truck, they would see my Bible and journal. My employees began to call me Bible Thumper. I also stopped going to the local pub after work with my employees and started spending time at home with my wife and family. My wife and I became youth leaders at our local church, and that finally led me to accept the calling on my life to become a pastor, all because I became a new creation in Christ. The old was gone and the new had come. The old Dave was going, gone, but the new Dave was being created in Christ each day. Not only are we new creations in Christ, the old is gone and the new has come, we are reconciled to God in Christ Jesus. The next three verses speak volumes of the work that God has done and is doing and continues to do to bring us into a relation with Him. Listen again to verses 18 through 20 in 2 Corinthians. "All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation," that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 5 times in 3 verses, the words reconciled, reconciling, reconciliation are used. The word for reconciliation or reconciled or reconciled is katalasso, which means to make right or to restore a relationship. Notice that this reconciliation and reconciling work is all done by God from first to last. Reconciliation is God's unassisted work. Here God is shown to be the creator of the messenger who is Jesus and brings along the ministry and the message of reconciliation. This text is wholly God-centered. God is the mover of every mention of reconciliation in these verses. It is God who reconciles himself to us through or with, here you go, in Christ, in Christo. In Christ, we have a restored relationship, all orchestrated by God. God is the mover, and God is the finisher of this reconciliation. This ministry of reconciliation is not telling people to make peace with God, but telling them that God has made peace with them in Christ. Do you see the difference? God has made peace with you in Christ. God has made peace with me in Christ. We are not called to make peace with God. It's God's work. The method of reconciliation is reckoning God, not counting our trespasses against them, 2 Corinthians 5:19, which will be explained in verse 21. There is a reckoning of sins, but they are reckoned not to the sinner, but to Christ. Gospel is not reconcile yourself. No. The gospel is be reconciled. We are simply receiving reconciliation, this restored relationship. We're being made right into a right relationship with God. Some years ago, an English farmer by the name of William Dorset was preaching in London. In the course of his sermon, he said, "There is not a man in all of London," he said, "there's not a man in all of London whom Jesus Christ cannot save." At the close of the meeting, a lady missionary in London came to him and said, "Mr. Dorset, did you say that there wasn't a man in all of London that Jesus Christ cannot save?" "Yes, ma'am, that is what I said." "Well, there is a man here in London I wish you would see. He says that he is beyond salvation." "I will go and see him tomorrow morning," replied Mr. Dorset, "if you will take me to him." They started out early the next morning for East London, stop before a high, wretched tenant building. "You will find him," she said, "in the top story in the back room. You'd better go up alone, as he will talk more freely with you than if someone else is with you." Mr. Dorset began to climb the stairs. Each flight of the stairs seemed more wretched and filthy than the one that preceded. At last, he reached the top story and found the door hanging by one hinge, which he pushed open as best he could. There was not a window in the room, but when his eyes became acquainted to the darkness, over in the corner was a young man lying on a pile of filthy straw. He walked softly across the floor, leaned over the young man, and said, "My friend." The young man looked up with a start and said, "You are mistaken, sir. I am not your friend, and you are not my friend. I have not a friend in the world." "Yes, you have," said Mr. Dorset. "I am your friend, and what is better, Jesus Christ is your friend too." "No," he replied, "Jesus Christ is no friend of mine. I have disobeyed his laws. I have trampled him underfoot all my life, and he is no friend of mine." Yes, he is. "Yes, he is," insisted Mr. Dorset, and sat down by his side, and from the Bible proved that Jesus Christ was the friend of sinners and his friend. The young man listened to the story of redeeming love and at last put his trust in Jesus Christ and found pardon. Then he turned to Mr. Dorset and said, "My heavenly Father has forgiven me. I could die happy if I only knew my earthly father had forgiven me also." "Well, I'll go and see him," said Mr. Dorset. "No, I do not wish you to do that. you would only be insulted. My father does not allow my name to be mentioned in his presence. He has taken it off the family registry. He has not allowed my name to be mentioned to him for 2 years. I'll go and see him anyway, said Mr. Dorset. He secured his address and hurried to the west end of London, where the father lived. It was in a beautiful mansion. He was met at the door by a servant and taken into the reception room. The father, a fine-looking English gentleman, soon came into the room and extended his hand in a cordial way towards Mr. Dorset. I have come to speak to you about your son, Joseph, said Mr. Dorset. The father dropped his hand as if he had been shot. I have no son, Joseph, he said. I do not allow that young man's name to be mentioned in my presence. I have had to take him off the family registry. I simply want to tell you that if you have had anything to do with that young man, you are being deceived. Good day. He turned upon his heel and started to leave the room. And as he is about to cross the threshold, Mr. Dorset said in a gentle voice, well, he is your son anyway, but he won't be very long. The father turned around and quickly said, is Joseph dying? Yes, he is dying. I have not come to ask you to do anything for him. I do not ask you when to pay his funeral expenses. I will gladly do that. But his heavenly father has forgiven him, and he says he could be die happy if only his earthly father would forgive him too. Forgive him, said the father. I would have forgiven him long ago if he'd only asked for it. Take me to him. The gentleman ordered his carriage, and they hurried down to the wretched tenant in the east end of London, hurried up the stairs to the dark room where the son lay dying. As the father entered the door, and the son looked up and said, Father, my heavenly father has forgiven me. I could die happy if you would forgive me too. Forgive you, cried his father as he hurled across the floor. I would have forgiven you long ago if you had only asked. The boy was too ill to be moved, and the gentleman sank on the floor by his side and took his son's head upon his shoulder, and he died happy, knowing that his heavenly father had forgiven him and his earthly father had forgiven him. God stands ready to forgive any sinner, even the vilest and most hopeless, who will trust in him. Wow. We come to the end of our reading today. And I would say there's three M's. The ministry of reconciliation begins and ends with Christ and what God has done, is doing, and will continue to do in Christ. The message of reconciliation tells us that when we were once far off from God because of our sins, we have been restored and brought back into a relationship with God through the work of Christ on the cross. And the mission of reconciliation has been given to each one of us to accept and share with our family, friends, coworkers, students, teachers, and even our enemies. We are called to be ambassadors of God, bringing the good news, the great news of all in Christ. Wow. That's a powerful story. Let us pray. God, as we come to the end of our series in Christ, let us always remember to remain in Christ all the days of our life. All these years, I was estranged from my family. You reconciled me to them. Wow, we give thanks for that. Whoever here today needs reconciliation in their lives, I pray right now that they would trust you, that you would bring them through this ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation to you, and maybe even possibly reconciliation to those where relationships have been broken. Let us know that we are a new creation. God, there is nothing that you cannot do for us as long as we are in Christ. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you this day and always. Go in peace, and I'll see you next week in Christ. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.